It's my birthday, but it isn't my night. I arrive at the gallery and the crowd swallows me. A forest of elbows and shoulders and plastic cups of cheap wine. Even in heels, I can't see more than a few feet around me, but I can visualize the pigeon's eye view. My best friend Linnea's paintings pinned to the walls by spotlight beams. The gallery floor, a seething mandala of humanity bunching, circling, coming together and separating. I slip between the bodies, giving out smiles and one-armed hugs. A while back, I dated a guy who liked to say he didn't know why people even celebrated birthdays. So you'd made it through another year, big deal. It wasn't as if it was an accomplishment. He was one of those people who are always trying to prove how little they care about things. And I, dazzled by good hair and carefully cultivated body funk, took way too long to pick up on it. Tonight, though, I almost agree with him. People wish me happy birthday, and it's all I can do not to reply, so what? Sour grapes isn't a good look. It's natural to be envious of your best friend, particularly when she has a solo exhibition, while you, at freshly turned 29, have yet to get your paintings into a real gallery. But it's not constructive. Linnea would be happy for me if our positions were reversed. I've come to her opening to support her, and I keep a smile on my face, but my heart's not in it. Ordinarily, I'd be happy to soak up the class reunion atmosphere. I keep running into people I haven't seen in forever. Everyone we went to art school with loved Linnea. Most of them loved me, too, in the shallow and intense way you love like-minded people with whom you share a rite of passage. But in the past couple of years, a lot of us have fallen out of touch. Our interactions limited to liking one another's posts on social media. It's taken Linnea's getting gallery representation to draw us all to the same place. Success is more of a magnet than sentiment. People hope it'll rub off. I wasn't always so cynical. It's good that so many people came tonight. That means reviews, which means visitors, which means collectors, which means money. Not that Linnea needs it. Everyone asks whether I'm showing anywhere, and they don't seem surprised when I say I'm not. I choose not to feel insulted, the same way I choose not to get upset when people think it's their business that I'm still single. In my view, being unattached makes having a career easier. Though I'm further away from a meaningful career than I was when I graduated from art school. I finish my plastic cup of Chardonnay and make my way to the bar for another. I'm usually more of a micro-brews and craft cocktails kind of girl, but I take what I can get for free. Kelly! I hear as I'm turning back toward the room, wine in hand, and here's Linnea. Tall and goddess-like, the crowd parting for her the way it never does for me. She gives me a hug, then tugs me by the wrist to talk to a woman with the sleek, pinched look of an aging trophy wife, a collector. "This is the artist I was telling you about," Linnea says to her, and the woman smiles and extends a bejeweled hand. Linnea comes from a wealthy family, part of Chicago's black elite, which affords her connections as well as the time and space to make work full-time. I try as hard as I can not to resent this. The collector asks a few polite questions about my work and excuses herself, depositing my card in a snakeskin clutch that probably cost more than a month's rent on my apartment. Linnea stands off to the side in consultation with a slender man wearing a mustard yellow waistcoat and a well-tended mustache, someone who works for the gallery. I scan the crowd for people I haven't talked to yet, wondering idly what my life would look like if I quit, stopped making the scene, stopped schmoozing people who might buy my work or put it in a gallery, moved out to the country and rented a romantic, tumble-down cabin where I could pile up unsold paintings undisturbed. It's the kind of dream only someone with money could realize. The same as the urban artist's life I'm striving for now. After I came to Chicago, it didn't take me long to learn, contrary to any ideas I might have developed growing up in small-town Michigan, that there was nothing special about me. Nobody would catch sight of me lying on the sidewalk and see my sparkle and pick me up. I had to hustle like everyone else.